Tell I'm excited this morning? Well, I want to just reiterate something. You may have noticed I have a dress shirt on. When was the last time you saw me wearing a dress shirt? Years, except at a funeral. And this is not a funeral.
Amen?
Amen? This is a celebration, a time of gathering to celebrate Him and His goodness and His faithfulness to all of us. And so not only am I wearing a dress shirt, but I'm wearing a green one to represent growth, new beginnings, and what God is planning in you and in me and in this place. God bless you as you enter into the vision that Rich was talking about, seeking the Lord for your part in the vision, that we might grow together into a house and a place that will glorify Him. Amen? You're already giving, but if you haven't done so, you can put your tithes and offerings in the basket there in the center aisle. The children are dismissed to receive their portion from the Lord. Well, I'm full, and in a good way. I'm full of it. And so I'm going to continue in the vein that I've been sharing for a few weeks. I am not sure if this may be the last in the series of messages on hindrances to fruitfulness. And I encourage you to study Genesis 26, verses 15 to 23 as well. We're not going to go through it, but that's the basis for the message. Of redigging the wells that the enemy has filled in your life and allowing John 7, verse 38, the truth that Jesus spoke, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from him or her shall flow rivers of living water. And we have to sometimes be more aware of the things that are stopping the flow of the living water that by God's grace we have been privileged to receive at salvation. So anyway, that's the basis. We talked about a few hindrances already, and you can go back and listen to those or study those further. We talked about doubt, we talked about distraction, deception, discouragement, and disappointment last week. And last week, I believe, was very, very important, and it's going to be instrumental for your growth. So dig into the scripture and allow God to bring revelation to you as you purpose to seek Him and to find Him in the Word. So this morning, I'm going to continue on hindrances to fruitfulness. And again, these are not in any particular order. They're just things the Lord spoke to me, many in the middle of the night. So I had to get up and begin writing, and I gladly do so anytime He speaks to me. So number 6 is distortion. To distort is to twist or to alter the true meaning of something or to pervert, to cause to turn away from what is good or true or morally right. And it was no accident, Rich, that you opened with that very word about perversion of the gospel. Because honestly, there's a measure of that going around today. People are not preaching an accurate word of God, and they're using it for personal gain, for their own purposes, for their own popularity. And God, quite frankly, is fed up with that. And so he's giving us a word of caution to not allow that kind of thing to stop the living water from flowing out of us. Amen? To not live in such a way or receive God's correction or direction or guidance of the Holy Spirit in such a way that it's in not the way he means it or not lined up with the Word of God. To divert to a wrong end is another way, meaning of distort. To misuse. And that's, honestly, I've seen too much of it. Misusing the Word of God. Taking a scripture out of context to justify something they want to do or want to say. And it ought not to be, brethren. So, in the New Testament, I mean, the Old Testament, here I go, getting ahead of myself. Deuteronomy 16, 19, you shall not distort or pervert justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. And so, we have to be very careful because the Bible says life and death are in the power of your tongue. So you can choose, and if you're not careful, you're going to inadvertently speak death. Or you can choose to speak life. It's quite simple. There's no gray area here. We can either speak life or speak death. And you know, it can be something simple. Oh, I think I'm getting sick. What do you mean you think you're getting sick? God is your healer. What about speaking the word of God instead of saying, oh, I'm going to get sick. Or, oh, I'm not going to have the money to pay my bills. Or on and on. That's death. That's negativity. And God wants us to say, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. That's the word that needs to come out of our mouth. And I'm sorry I'm departing, but the Holy Spirit has given me fresh material and you're going to get it. It's the thing about the bribe is just, again, it's that perversion. It sways the way someone's going to look at something. It's just like speaking an inaccurate word that is in the Word of God for personal gain, perverting it. And if we're not careful, where does it start? It starts in the heart, it partners with the mind, and then lo and behold, there it is. We're behaving according to that perverted interpretation of God's word and trying to justify something that is ungodly. Oh, this is a real popular message today. I don't hear any amens this morning. But I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to help you succeed when I say these things, to not be allow distortion a place in this life-giving, life-producing water that's in you, that's talked about in John chapter 7, verse 38. From your innermost being, as a blood-bought believer, from your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. O my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your paths. It's really addressing false prophets here in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, that's what he's trying to nail here. False prophets who are misusing or misquoting God's word. Proverbs 12, verse 8. A man will be praised according to his insight, or how he handles, how he receives and then speaks and handles God's word, would be my paraphrase of that. A man will be praised according to his insight, but one of perverse mind, perverted or inaccurate thinking and use of the scripture, will be despised. First by God, and then by anyone who knows the truth. They're going to say, that is not so. And when you're a student of the Holy Spirit and something is not quite right that is portrayed as the Word of God, something inside of you should react. And you should say, that's a little off. I don't know why. I can't explain why, but the Holy Spirit is telling me something's just not right there. However, and Paul is addressing this in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 1, 6 and 7, he's talking about the perversion of the gospel then. And this is in a brand new church. The church is growing, the church is multiplying and prospering, and those are coming in for personal gain and trying to jump on the bandwagon for their own selfish motives and gain. Perverting the gospel. He says, what happened to you? Deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Some want to distort the gospel of Christ and use it for their own purpose or benefit or even glorification of themselves, to make themselves look good, to say it in plain English. Psalms 51, verse 6. Behold, you, God, desire truth in the innermost or the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. And so, Paul says it this way in the New Testament, Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, even Christ. And so that's our motivation, how much he loved me, and I don't want to diminish that by compromising the gospel message for personal gain or for personal praise, even, you know. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be found true and every man a liar. Hope this isn't too, actually, I hope it is too hard, because you know, we can be lulled to sleep by what we see going on out there and what we allow in this gate and this gate right here, the eye gate and the ear gate. We can be lulled into a false interpretation and even a false understanding of who God is. God help us to remain true. I'm sorry, I gotta give it to you. This is an old song by the Mamas and the Papas, and it says, dedicated to the one I love. You remember it? You're showing your age, but that's okay. Dedicated. We need to be dedicated to the one who first loved us. Amen? It's all good. Number seven. It's getting deeper here. Defilement. Defilement, which, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that the word means something like unclean or stained or polluted. And to corrupt the purity of something, the purity of the word, the purity of who God is, even the purity of who God says you are. We can listen, when we listen to something false, it alters our conception and understanding of who God says we are. And then we start behaving like that. Our behavior lines up with that false reception or acceptance of what is an untruth. Of course, you know, no sugarcoating it. The main cause of defilement is sin, impure thoughts, impure actions, or even participating in some sort of demonic activity, or allowing demonic activity to influence or sway us, or even inviting it at times. And of course, you know, sometimes I'm remembering a good friend of mine. You know, some people still like to get the printed newspaper. They don't want to look at it online. They want to get a printed copy, just like they want to read the book. They don't want to read the book online. So the first thing my friend Dan does is he cuts out the horoscopes. Now, does that sound silly? Well, some might say so, but he does it because he wants to honor God. Just a small thing. He doesn't even read anything in the paper, and I've seen him do this, until he cuts the horoscope section out. Glory to God. And so Leviticus 19:31 says, don't go to mediums or spiritists or seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Ezekiel 36:17, son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it. How? By their ways and by their actions, by their deeds. They defiled the land. It had to be cleansed in the Old Testament concept of how they did things. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4. Woe to her who is rebellious, that tyrannical city. It's talking about Jerusalem here, but what's the principle underlying this? She heeded no voice. She accepted no instruction. She did not trust in the Lord. She did not draw near to her God. Woo. You say, well, that's pretty severe. Well, let's see what the New Testament has to say. The covenant of grace, the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, by the way, many of them are in the Old Testament, not just in the New. The Bible says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so it's talking about being sensitive to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is there to make you a better person. to make your life one that glorifies your Savior and King. And, you know, sometimes I think we have our own idea of what glorifying God is. But it's laid right out here in the scripture for us. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Getting your instruction, your revelation, your understanding and knowledge from the Holy Spirit and His interpretation of God's Word. Not some teacher. Not even me. I have to be held to the same standard. And if I say something that's off course or off color, I invite you to tell me so. I need you to tell me so. Not just for my sake, but for other ears that would hear that and be swayed by it or be defiled by it. Hebrews 12, verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. It's talking about being true to who you are, who God says you are, and who God made you to be. Not trying to please people or not being afraid to say something because, oh, you might lose a friend. Well, you might. But you have to leave that up to God. If you're getting direction from Holy Spirit, you've got to do it. You've got to obey it. You've got to deliver the message. Who is this guy that's preaching this word this morning? I thought he was more mild-mannered and soft-spoken. Are you with me still? You still with me? Did I lose you? Are you ready to run out at the end of service? Avoid me? I hope not. Defilement plugs the well of living water. It hinders your ability to be fruitful for Him and for His kingdom. So we need to keep a short list, be sensitive to Holy Spirit, so we can avoid sin, avoid ungodly thoughts and actions, and be willing to quickly confess and repent. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 8, I don't know if I'm going to finish this series this morning or not. I still have more, but we'll see. But I'm going to do 8, just in case. Discord, defined as lack of agreement or harmony, strife, conflict, disunity, disagreement. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Do two men walk together unless they have an appointment or unless they be agreed? King James or New King James renders that. I think that's more the sense of what is being said here. Here's one about discord with the Lord. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 24. While you yourself were not aware, you have been found. In other words, God came after you. He found you where you were. You were found and seized or captured or taken over or laid hold of. It's talking about your spiritual condition that was bound or immobilized because you have engaged in conflict with the Lord. How do you do that? you find yourself in conflict with this word by what you say and what you do. You find yourself engaged in strife, in opposition, not in alignment with the Lord and with His precious word. Psalms 133, verses 1 to 3. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Let me read all of it. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. I want to give you a fresh understanding that I got from Brother Andrew while I was in Africa last month. From Luke, you can check it out later. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Luke chapter 8. Verse 43 to 48. And what Andrew has a more precise knowledge of Old Testament things. And, you know, what it's saying is the anointing oil comes upon the head. And then it flows down. And there are little pockets or folds at the bottom of the priest's garment. And so that's what the woman with the issue of blood. That's why she touched the hem. She wanted the anointing to be healed by Jesus. She believed by faith that he carried God's anointing. Oh, what a picture. And then it says, the dew of Hermon, verse 3. It's like, again, it's talking about unity of the brethren. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And I've been to Israel, and what Andrew showed me and illustrated was, at night, the dew forms, right? And that, through the flow of the air currents, it comes down into the valley, which is desert. If you go, you see the mountains, and then everything around these lush, that are not even, how you want to say it, commercially irrigated. The dew comes and waters the crops. So that's what it's saying, the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, there, coming down from the mountains, because for there God commands the blessing. It's talking about unity. This whole passage, that's just three verses here. That's all of Psalms 133, three verses. And it gives two very powerful illustrations there. The priest's garment and the dew of Mount Hermon. And so, let's go to the New Testament and wrap this up. Five more minutes, we'll be done. And I actually shared quite a bit in this short time this morning, but I want to finish this segment. Philippians chapter 1, 29 and 30. It's talking about conflict in the life of the believer, the war of the flesh and the spirit when we suffer, when we're rejected, when we're not received because something we've said or that we've offered the truth of the gospel and we're not received. That's the word conflict or struggle or opposition there. And Paul's saying, you're experiencing the same thing I did when I wasn't received for preaching the truth. The same conflict you saw in me and now here to be in me. He's still going through it. And Paul has a very long list of what happened to him in his journey of following Jesus. Beatings, shipwrecks, numerous times, 39 stripes, which that's just almost enough to kill you. They stop there. This is the same word in the New Testament for conflict or struggle. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. We had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. Same thing, same word for conflict or struggle. God gave them the boldness. They didn't care what happened. They wanted to be obedient and honor him. 1 Timothy 6:12. The word is defined here as fight. Fight the good fight. Rise up with that struggle, that war that's going on in you. Talks about we do not war according to the flesh, but there's a spiritual battle going on. That's what this is pointing to here. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, stand in faith in the middle of the conflict. Refuse to budge. Refuse to move. Refuse to compromise the truth. When you face opposition or disagreement or discord, here's the word disagreement in the missionary travels. Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark. Acts chapter 15, verse 39. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement, they parted ways. They went their separate ways. They could have not come to terms with one another. That word also means, for disagreement, means to sharpen or provoke. You know, the scripture should sharpen us. It says our iron sharpens iron, but really it's being servants of the word that sharpens one another. It's talking about people, but it's talking about using the word properly. And it should provoke you. It should stir you up. Not just the nice things, not just about the blessings, but about suffering for Christ. Something should be ignited or set on fire in us and receive the full gospel. So it says there in Acts 15:39 that they basically broke fellowship or were in disunity. Hebrews 10:24, same word here for disagreement. Let us consider how to stimulate or provoke one another to love and good deeds. So, you know, there is a cost to unity. I mean, I can't say it any more plainly. It means I can't always have my own way. It means I might be wrong sometimes, and I have to be willing to admit it. Or, you know, just like in your marriage, we say we have to choose our battles. Right? We got to choose what we're going to argue about, in other words, and or disagree about. And be willing to cooperate and compromise our position. Not the truth, but our position. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Philippians 2, verses 2 to 3. Make my joy complete, Paul says, by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do you always treat people that way? You should. It's a command in God's word. Treating somebody as if they are more important than you. husband and wife, friends, co-workers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Fill in the blank. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You can read the whole scripture on your own. It's up there. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at the end of verse 1 into verse 3. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling that God has placed on your life. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance. Oh boy, that's a word of conviction right there. Showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this is what Holy Spirit gave me yesterday as I was finishing up. He said, cut the cord of discord and fashion a new cord. And the scripture that goes with that, of course, is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. What are the three strands? You, Jesus, and the other person that you're in relationship with. So, that's it for today. But this is a challenge. I mean, I believe Holy Spirit is laying down the gauntlet in this season and doing business with matters of the heart. Those things that are preventing us from what the Army says or the Marines say, be all you can be. Be all you can be in Christ. That should be the charge here. That should be the meaning of all of this. And God bless you as you respond, as you seek Holy Spirit, as you check up on me that I'm preaching and teaching an accurate word here. Not saying, you know, I'm not shooting stray bullets. But I'm accurately handling the word of truth. God bless you. Go enjoy the day. I encourage you to have fellowship downstairs, of course, as always. Have a coffee, have a snack.